Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
But they were like, but you can't eat anything hard for 24 hours. And I hadn't eaten yet because it was supposed to be at 3 p.m. And I was like, oh, I'll eat, you know, after, you know, I can feel my face again. And they're like, oh, yeah, you can't eat anything hard. And I was like, okay. So, like, what? And they're like, well, you can't eat any grains because they're technically hard. I'm like, bread? That's technically hard.
Yeah, you need to have, like, smoothies, applesauce.
Yeah, and I just, Jello. I don't have any of that shit in my house. So it's like, I don't. What I have is fucking tacos.
that ain't gonna work.
Exactly.
You have a blender? So like,
no.
Put the tacos in a blender.
Taco blender.
No. I do not have a blender now. God, that sounds good right now. I want a taco smoothie now. Damn it.
Don't talk about food. I'm so hungry. Immediately we're talking about food.
Yeah.
I'm shaking. I'm so hungry.
Jacob, you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Adam, you here?
Yeah.
Yay. You're going to have to get closer to the mic. You're kind of quiet.
You're not my real dad.
I am Thank on this fuck. Show. I will turn this show right around.
That's first.
What does that mean? Does that mean we go to the episode that we've already done?
Like, I don't know.
How does this work?
No, it means that this is an actually good podcast and, like, you know, we stay on schedule and follow an actual format.
You know, that's not real.
You know, our editing wasn't done with, like, MS Paint.
No, that's not believable. No.
I've upgraded to Paint 3D, by the way.
No,
oh, yeah, that's nice.
I do that's use Paint 3D. Rules.
Yeah, me too.
I'll go back to MS Paint every now and then when I just need, like, a quick resize, but Paint 3D for all the fancy editing I do.
Oh, it's so fancy.
I know.
So fancy.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Jacob and Aki. How are you two doing?
I've been better.
Shocking.
Yeah.
We already talked about all this.
Oh, yeah. Tim's here.
Yep.
Tim, you weren't here Tuesday, but you're here Thursday. And why? Because today Adam's is here, too.
I was going to say, because today's not a holiday.
Well, yeah, that, too.
Tuesday was a holiday?
Yeah, which, ironically, it was like about 10 and I saw the tweets. I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing shit right now. I could have totally made this show, but whatever. I'm going to bed right now, even though the world is exploding around me.
Yeah. Fireworks or whatever. Big Adam's here. Adam, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right. My knee hurts.
What'd having you do to
an I just have arthritis in my left knee, I think. So for the last like 2 days. I'm good. I'll pass on that option.
No one lets me amputate any other limbs. What the fuck?
I wouldn't trust you to amputate mine, if that makes you feel better.
You would or you wouldn't?
No, I wouldn't. No way in fucking hell.
Does yeah, that sorry, that's gonna be a no from me, dog.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, well, I thought it would.
I feel like maybe the responses to the question aren't the problem. I feel like maybe it could be the question itself that may or may not be the issue in tell here.
No, the responses are the problem, clearly.
So why do you want to amputate someone's limb?
Fun.
Or food. Fun.
You know it's messy, right?
Yeah, I don't
amputation
care.
For fun and food.
No, not for food.
I really hope that this episode doesn't wind up in, like, a podcast about true crime.
You never know, man. You never know.
I 2023
Aki was on a podcast, talked about eating people. This began her descent into madness,
or continued.
Yeah,
that's more
to be
reasonable.
Fair.
Yeah. So we have a fun episode lined up. We got news to take care of. We're going to get some reviews to tackle. The big thing of discussion, aside from news, is going to be AEW Fight Forever And
buckle up for a big review when that one starts.
Yeah, you're going to get a long one there. So, Jacob, you could take a nap during that. Aki, you could probably make and eat food in that time.
Non-recreational. She can't eat. She cannot eat.
Well, you could blend and drink.
Yeah, that's true.
Your taco.
I don't have a blender. Or mash else it up. I legitimately would.
Put it in a bag and mash it up and then like squeeze
you
it.
You have to have some foods in the house that you can get down to a paste. I thought Aki eats
tacos other ways.
Come on now.
I don't have potatoes. A girlfriend right now for that, sadly. No, I don't have potatoes. I don't actually hold very much in my house because
that's fair.
Otherwise I eat too much. So I just buy a small amount, and most of, like, anything that I have in my house that's like a large quantity of stuff is like hamburger.
You could probably simmer down some hamburger and because you don't have to chew it. That's the thing. We're just trying not to chew things. I think it's, I don't know. I think there's a, I think
you could gum it and just like swallow it whole. just dislodge your jaw.
Yep.
And be like a snake and just eat like a turkey whole.
All right. This is horrific. No. We should probably move on.
Yeah. News. We could tackle news of the week. The big
what
news,
happened in the last week?
Big news of the week is I set up a third monitor on my desk, and now things are just ridiculous for me.
Welcome to the team.
Yeah.
I use three at work, but only two at home.
Got my notes on the left. I got my stream on the right, and I got my games right in front of me. Shit's looking
games,
good.
Wait, what games do you play on PC?
I don't play them. I have the pages pulled up so we can discuss them.
Oh.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that before?
On two monitors, I had to, like, share the
screen. You lazy sack of shit. Oh, I need greens. Mm-hmm.
Hey, who has a PC here?
All of us.
I do.
Literally all of us.
Yeah, all of us have PCs. Jacob. No, I have one. It's just not plugged in
PCD's
or working.
Nuts.
Or
PCD's nuts.
That was good.
That was good.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. I mean,
the other big news of the week is Game Pass. We have some Game Pass additions we could talk about. This week we got MicPixel 3.
Okay.
Which I think Grant was excited about that one. Sword and Fairy Together Forever. Aki, I know you were excited about that one.
I wanted to review that forever ago, but sadly I didn't get that one.
Oh well. And then Grand Theft Auto 5, the Xbox One and the Series versions, both rejoined Game Pass this week.
I was about to say that they were on Game Pass previous, so they're just back now.
Yeah, they guess who's back? Back again. GTA's back. Tell a friend.
Still wild.
I'm not telling anybody.
I know you won't. Next week on the 11th, Common Hood is joining Game Pass, which it's like a town builder. I don't really know much about this one, but it's a new release launching direct to Game Pass. Has anyone else heard of this one?
Nope.
No.
Got nothing. What is Common Hood?
It is a community building and economy management game with highly customizable base building tools.
Nope, nothing. Got nothing. Looks like it's been early access on Steam for a bit.
It's developed.
Oh no, it's actually out. It just looks like something that's usually in early access for about 5 years.
Oh man. And then Insurgency Sandstorm is joining PC Game Pass.
What?
Yeah. And then on the 14th, Exo Primal.
Okay, yeah, alright, nice. There we go.
Goodness.
That game seems to be like the kind of dumb shooty fun that people may be interested in.
Yeah, I'm hoping it does well on Game Pass. And fingers crossed we hear on it and we get to check it out, but we'll see.
You never know.
July 18th, two more games, The Cave. I'm still not sure if this is the 360 version or if it's a new re-release. I've heard mixed.
Oh, yeah, The Cave.
Yeah, Double Fine.
I remember
Fine.
The Cave.
Yeah. Double Fine and Sega.
I think I played the demo for that when it first came out. I don't think I played it in a... It's supposed to be like it's like a 2D adventure-y deal. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to play it just to get the points for it.
What points?
Because it is, what is it, The Cave?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just play that. I mean, because it's delisted, so get it while you can.
Yeah. Well, it might be getting relisted if it's hitting Game Pass.
Fair.
Yeah. And then Tectonica is joining Game Pass. That is a first-person factory automation game.
These genres.
Okay. Yeah.
That and Common Hood look way too complex for me.
Yeah, I could believe that.
Not all good news, though. Three games are leaving Game Pass. Jacob, you'll be heartbroken. Paw Patrol.
Well, thank God no. I own them all.
Yeah, Paw Patrol, the movie, Adventure City Calls is leaving. XO1 and Spelunky 2 are all leaving game. On the 16th.
XO1 is pretty fun.
It's kind of neat. Yeah.
I like that. You're playing as this ball and you have to roll around this alien environment and find shit. It's weird.
It just has a cool look to it, and the controls feel nice, and it's worth, you know, ripping through a couple stages if nothing else.
And if you're baked to shit, it's really entertaining. Not that I would know.
Yeah, course. I played a few stages. I dug it.
This is a good Christian podcast.
Yeah, sure. I believe
that. Yeah.
I'm on here. That's impossible.
So yeah, that's the Game Pass news. Seems like a pretty good batch.
Yeah, not bad.
Exo Primals.
That's
Jordan Ferry really, should have.
You really just interest. Need one to yeah. to really.
And then
catch
Grand Theft
interest.
Auto for all the bros.
I guess yeah. I can't believe I wasn't played that game at this point.
If you don't own that game, then you don't want that game. This serves no purpose. Game Pass. It's only been released like 20 fucking times.
I'm sure there'll be somebody with this is their first time. They're like, okay, yeah. Finally, now I have the time and Let's inclination to play Grand Theft Auto 5 for the first time.
I mean, it's got to do well enough that Microsoft is like, yeah, let's bring it back again.
See, I think the deal with that is it's just more for the people who own the physical disc and then don't want to put the physical disc in. So just download that and play it that way. That's so it's faster. Because I've done that with physical games that were on Game Pass. Just like, I don't feel like putting the disc in, so I'm just going to pre-download whatever is missing and digitally. That has to be the only way that that's getting anything.
I mean, a lot of the time when you're putting the disc in, you're just... That's
what's happening. Mostly
it's downloading anyway, so yeah.
I mean, to be fair, that game's also been out for like 12 years, and when it first came out, there was some people that were just like straight up too young to play that kind of game. And mm-hmm. now with it being re-added to Game Pass,
now there's another
generation of users that are able to play it.
Yeah.
Fair enough, I guess. I've never had any interest in playing that game.
I know what you do have interest in, Aki.
Boobs.
Neptunia, Sisters versus Sisters.
Yes.
Was announced as coming to Xbox. First Neptunia game hitting Xbox next year.
Can't wait. I want it.
Cool to see Idea Factory releasing an Xbox game. I hope it does well for them.
Yeah, I don't even know what style it's going to play because they have a few different styles of games they play. I don't care. I want it. I don't care. Just give me the game.
We have a new chatter hanging out, Alterio, who is asking, do you guys think E3 aged bad?
Yes.
Didn't even think about that one. Holy shit.
No. I was never particularly impressed with E3, and no one cares about E3 anymore for a reason.
I think it aged to the point that it died.
Yeah, yep. Pretty much. Yeah.
It got old and it died, and I don't see it coming back, sadly. I think... The concept of E3 is still going to be a thing with the Summer Game Fest. I think people will still call things like E3 events, but I think for the most part, the actual event is gone.
Yeah.
And
just so much of it doesn't even need to, like thanks to the internet and how quickly companies drop information and stuff like that, we just don't need something like E3 anymore. Like, yeah. We just really don't. Like, unless you're going to go there and test it. But then again, we've got stuff like, you know, on Apple, you've got Test Flight. Like, there's demos you can download on Xbox and stuff like that.
It's the same stuff that they'd make for E3. They can just put it
right
digitally immediately for as many people to try it as they want. And I think that works better because, yes, when you go to E3, you're definitely going to get those people to probably play it. But then you release it on like Xbox and Steam and stuff, you're going to reach a much wider audience that are going to be willing to try it because all those people are still going to try it. And then a whole bunch of other people are going to be like, well, I guess I'll try it, whatever.
The only difference is that you don't get swag and booth babes.
I feel like
which
both of those arguments are incredibly agoraphobic.
I'm sorry, what?
I feel like both of those arguments are just agoraphobic. It's just like, I just just avoid the humans at all costs. Just give me
agoraphobic, so, I mean, argument I have for not leaving the house is because of agoraphobia. I don't want to leave the house.
That's fair. And I think E3, I would love to see it come back. That was always like a bucket list item of mine. I wanted to attend E3, and I feel like I could have if I had the money. I think this show has been around long enough that we're looked at as
semi-legitimate
enough that we could get into E3, but now it doesn't exist. And that kind of sucks for me. Like,
yeah,
I wanted to have that big convention experience. And I think PAX is probably as close as I'll be able to get to that.
Yeah.
And
PAX, I mean, you could always try for a press pass for New York City Comic Con.
Maybe it's just I don't want to go to New York City.
I don't like New York City either. Fuck that place.
I've gone to like 10 PAXes, and it is just E3. It's like it basically, like, the idea behind it is it's an E3 that fans are allowed to go to.
Yeah,
like that's the whole idea behind
it. Yeah, see, for me, E3 never really mattered, because for a long time I didn't even know E3 was even a thing, because I didn't keep up. I still don't really keep up with gaming news in any real facet. So until I started reviewing stuff for Joe, actually, I didn't even know E3 was a thing at all.
Well, it's a thing. Like, if you don't care about games that are coming out, then why would you have ever purposefully learned about where the new games come from? Like, that makes sense.
Yeah, for me, if I wanted to know about games that were coming out, it was Game Informer. I had Game Informer. That was it. That's what I knew.
Oh, well, the crazy thing about that is Game Informer got all of their information from things like E3.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So, like, you were quite literally getting the information just a week later than the people at E3. Like, that's all.
Yeah, like, I didn't know any of this stuff existed until about the time it was dying already by the time I learned about it, really.
Altario saying that it's all about the reactions. I'll miss the live reactions. And I think that the experience that E3 gave, I can agree with that. The reactions, that's why people do watch along videos now. That's why people watch me watch the Xbox showcase, so they could see what I think and react in real time to these events. I think that's Twitch is just
community thing,
taking that to a whole new level.
Yeah, it's a community thing. No doubt. No doubt at all.
I watched your thing of it, because that was just the easiest place for me to watch it. I didn't want to have to go looking for them actually posting it themselves. I was like, Joe's going to have this up. I'll just watch Joe, because I know where that is immediately. That's fine. Whatever. I always have trouble finding
these things. I'll just put a window over his face.
Well, no. I usually just flip it on, then half the time I'm like, I just listen to see if something sounds interesting, and then I'll flip to look at it. Otherwise, I'm playing video games.
I mean, a lot of it requires watching trailers. Like, there's lots of trailers that are very visual in nature that you can't just listen to.
I'm very blind by nature, so actually, yeah, I can. I mean,
you could see enough to play the game, so you could see enough to watch a trailer.
True, but I also know the sounds that I'm looking for.
Yeah, you look for the sounds that are,
Well, I mean, I'm not against those sounds.
Oh, wait, no, you're looking for the sounds that are...
Can I just remind everybody in the chat that Pornhub.com definitely does exist?
Yes.
You can see tons and tons and tons of free boobs all day.
Is that still banned?
Didn't they also ban Virginia?
Oh, my God.
I don't
know.
I thought they added another state or two, but it's still funny.
See, I use X-Hamster personally, but...
Hey, whatever floats your boat, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It plays Pornhub better.
Pornhub is too tame for Aki.
Well, no, it's...
Hey, Joe, is there any other great stories from the last week?
I was going to do another soundboard clip, actually, for Jacob and Aki.
Neckbeard stinky twats!
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Let's see. Daedalic Entertainment is ceasing all internal game development after the disastrous launch of Gollum. They will remain a publisher, but they're done developing.
So we're never going to get a fix to that broken ass fucking game.
I don't know.
A shame.
Yeah.
What would they fix?
Everything. Making it to where you magnetically grab onto things better, significantly better than what they did by a lot, improving the stealth mechanics by a lot.
A basically lot of people think it's not fixable, though.
Problems, they'd have to make a new
fixable.
Game.
Fixable. Yeah. They could do it. They just have to rewrite. Yeah, I reviewed it.
Oh,
it's very much fixable. It's just it's going to be like a year long bit of work. Yeah, they can fix it.
They're not doing so.
No, they're not willing. No, it's a shame. Yeah. I will never 100% that broken ass fucking game. Then sucks.
Let's see. Series X and S sales have hit 21 million units.
Cool.
So it's doing pretty good for itself, but when you compare it to the PlayStation, it's dwarfed because the PS5 is just doing so well.
That's weird because I feel like they're both like sold out, you know. I mean, I do see Xboxes more than I see PlayStations, but I'm still just like it was just so long they were constantly just sold out, 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 sold out. That
for like 3 years.
Yeah. Is Microsoft just like not producing them as quickly, or do they realize that they're just elegantly surfing on the edge of demand and doing fine? Yeah, I don't know. That's just interesting. But
I always feel like I can find an edge these days. I can sometimes find places, and lots of people I know, they're like, I'd get a PlayStation if I could find one. Which I didn't realize they were that hard to find, honestly, but...
Yeah, I feel like they're just not trying hard enough.
Nah. Yeah, probably.
If you really want one at this point, you can get one. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not that hard to find, but some people are...
Some effort is required.
For some games,
a modicum.
Though, so. What big stuff... Like, we just got Final Fantasy 16. Have you played that?
Oh, yeah.
How is it?
It's good.
I still can't get over the fact that his name is fucking Clive. That just makes... I don't know why, but that makes me angry. It makes me so unrationally angry that that's his name.
Why?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I really like it. It looks really good. The story's really great. I mean, I think everyone has kind of the same opinion in that, like, it's just the combat and RPG systems are where the game is lacking, but the story and music and presentation and characters are all so strong. And it's still fun, even where it's lacking, it's still fun that it just doesn't really matter.
I've heard nothing but positives for the combat. Like, absolutely nothing but positives for combat.
Yeah, the combat is good. It's just not, in my opinion, very complicated. It's like Devil May Cry Light, which is good. I'm not ripping it here. I'm just saying.
Yeah, to me, the more simplistic it is, the better, honestly.
Yeah, it's just weird. I mean, they have, like, items you can equip to even make it more easy.
Yes, the accessibility rings.
Yeah, it's
and
fantastic.
There's, like, seven of them or something, but you can only put like
plenty.
Three or something like that.
Yeah, that's something they could stand to have more ways to buff out your character for sure. I'm enjoying it, and it is one of the rare games at this point that is actually a next gen 100% exclusive. Not, it's like not on PC even in this case, and yeah, there isn't a PS4 version. This is a PS5 game.
No, it's coming to PC eventually.
Eventually, but right now it is not.
I thought they said it was coming next year or something.
Yeah, they are
confirmed yet.
Yeah, they were starting work on it after they completed the this version. It's still a long ways away for sure. Yeah. What was I saying? Yeah, there's just not a lot of. Like hard next gen cannot play it on a PS4 games or, you know, last gen Xbox, as it were.
Yeah. What does Xbox have? Like Hi-Fi Rush and Flight Sim?
Not much. Is Hi-Fi Rush that doesn't play on old Xboxes?
Nope. Hi-Fi Rush is series only. Yeah.
Oh, how about that? But that is on PC.
Yeah. That game's definitely on PC.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Xbox doesn't have any actual like first party console exclusives because they release on
because they release everything on PC.
Yeah, because they want people to actually be able to play their fucking games. If they could, they'd release all of it on PlayStation too, because they're not cocksuckers.
No, I don't think they would release everything on PlayStation.
I think
they're releasing what they want on PlayStation. Like older Bethesda games, like there's rumors Quake 2 is getting a re-release, and that's going to be hitting everything, supposedly. We'll find out at QuakeCon. But something that is going to be hitting is Dying Light is getting a crossover with The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So zombies crossing over with zombies.
Wow.
Yeah. That's...
You know what my response to that is? Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
All righty.
I didn't say the news was all amazing this week. I'm just going.
Well, no, that's fair. That's fair.
It's news.
I don't even know why that's news, though. It's just like, we had this incredibly genuine idea. We're going to have zombies, get this, in our zombie game. Holy fuck. It's just, no, I'm good. That's, I don't know why that's news. Sorry. Go ahead. Continue, please.
Let's get to some racing news for you, Adam.
Oh, yeah.
Mario Kart 8 Booster Course Pass Wave 5 is hitting July 12th.
Just shut up, Nintendo.
Could they add
all the way shut up, Nintendo.
No, it's Wave 5 of the Booster Course Pack for Mario Kart 8.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just, 8 new courses are coming out this month. So
great. Nice. Cool. That's what? Another reason I'll log into the game for 3 hours and then immediately forget it exists again.
What do you forget about Mario Kart?
Are you fucking kidding me? That game's been around for 20 years. Didn't it come out with the launch? Didn't it come out with the launch of GameCube or some shit like that? Dude, that game is so old. It's insane.
Mario Kart 8 is about 10 years old. Yeah.
And they're still supporting it.
I honestly thought it was longer than older than that, honestly.
Yeah, it's slightly older, I think.
And they're still supporting it, which is cool to see. So
I feel like I was in middle school when that game came out. I graduated in 03. Can we just be real with everyone here?
I don't think Mario Kart 8 was out before MAGFest existed. Dude,
prove me
wrong. It has been a decade. Well, a little Lord. Less. It's been 9 years. Ow.
Something that's been around for less than 9 years, Disney Speedstorm is going to be hitting free-to-play full release on September 28th.
Yeah, it's the only reason I'll play it, because it's free. Let's go.
I'm so glad I didn't pre-order that.
The thing is, I did pre-order it, and none of my content worked, so I refunded it.
Fair enough.
I was supposed to get, coins and shot. Racers and outfits,
yeah,
and all this cool shit, and I didn't get a goddamn thing. Nothing. I had Donald Duck, and that was it.
Do you know how bad this man wanted to race his Goofy? I'm just saying.
No, I wanted to be Hercules.
It was a travesty.
We need Sally Struthers coming in. It's like, for a dollar a day, you can let Joe race his Goofy.
Oh, that's such a good idea.
Oh, shit. Last bit of news that I have. Friday the 13th, game is getting an update, which is going to bump everybody right to back. Level 150, unlock all the kills, all the challenge skulls, and give you 30 legendary perks. The game is getting delisted at the end of the year. And they figured that they'll just unlock everything and give it to everyone to just have fun.
Nice. You know what? That's cool of them.
That's exactly how you go out.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly how. I bet you once that happens, they're going to get so many new players in there immediately for a week.
Yeah, for a week.
Yeah, I'm
all
just
the being achievement realistic. Hunters getting all the, I'm level 150. Bloop. Okay, I'm done.
Nah, I read it's still not going to be that easy if you haven't been playing.
No.
Because I think it's like you have to do like 10,000. What is it like 1,000 or 10,000 games as Jason or something like that? So it's like,
I haven't looked at the achievement list.
I love when but
I love when game achievements are like, you live here now.
Yeah.
And like, that's how you achieve it. No, I'm good, fam. That's why I gave up on achievement hunting a very long time ago.
I think that's something that relieves me about Disney Speedstorm not working for me, is I didn't have to play it daily, so I could get my dailies and get my FOMO bullshit. And like that, it is, I think it's ruining gaming, is all this
Can I ask you what the FOMO was for? Is all of the 12-year-olds having Hercules and you not having Hercules a very big problem in your life?
Yes, clearly.
Listen, Joe gets bullied enough by 12-year-olds in real life. You really think he wants to go on to Disney Speedstorm and then have to deal with it there?
All I'm saying is little Timmy needs to finish his math homework. You leave his Hercules alone. Just, you know.
The thing is, I do have a sense of fear of missing out when it comes to gaming stuff because of Rock Band. Because I am missing 3 songs that I cannot buy.
That
sits in my mind. Like, what if another game comes out that I fall in love with, like I have with Rock Band, that I've been playing for 15 years regularly? What if another game like that comes out and I miss something near the beginning?
Man, that is an incredibly unhealthy obsession.
I know. And that's why I said I'm glad that Disney Speedstorm didn't work for me. Now I don't have to fuck with that.
You have to remember that it's not necessarily that's an unhealthy obsession or anything. It's that stuff specifically targets people like Joe and me. Yeah. That is, it's targeting people like us. It's not there for you guys because they're not trying to get your money. They don't care about you. They're trying to get all of our money. That's why I have hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of DLC for games I still haven't played.
God, you're still talking about this.
Yes, fuck you.
Nah.
I was just putting my
kid to bed.
What? I think the idea of buying DLC for a game that I haven't played yet is absolutely wild to me. But live your life, do your thing. I no judgment.
Oh no,
here.
This is miserable. I definitely this sucks.
Will Please not judge do. Us. Please judge us harshly.
Well, let me tell you about my buddy who has put money into Star Citizen.
Oh, yo, no.
Wait, hold on. Who are we talking about?
Nobody you.
Oh, know. Wait, hold on. We're not buddies. Okay, good.
Oh no. You just outed yourself?
Yeah. I dropped 60 when they first announced it.
Oh, boy.
That's not horrible.
How long ago was that?
10 years. Well, yeah. it might pre Mario Kart 8.
Pre Mario Kart
8. Oh my god.
I don't think I
back
don't think
in the 4 days of video gaming, there was a legend of a Star Citizen. And I put 40 doubloons there.
Like Mario Kart 8's coming out. We got to compete. Let's get this thing rolling.
Well, here's the best part, cuz like I like as soon as Chris Roberts announced it, I was like, yeah, take my money, because a coworker of mine, like, we both dropped $60. We formed our own guild for a game that wasn't even out yet.
2012.
You yeah. Nerd. Hold on. And then I get married and have kids. So even like when the game did finally like ship, kind of, I didn't have time, and I also didn't have a rig strong enough to be able to play that kind of game. So it's just $60 I'm just never going to see again. And I've got my nice little, you know, debit card sized official thing saying like I was dumb enough to spend money on this.
And Mario Kart 8 actually came out in 2014.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which was the original date the Star Citizen was targeting. So they were trying to make it out to compete with Mario Kart 8.
And they failed.
They didn't make
See, what happened is that they knew that they had to make an even better game than Mario Kart 8, so that's why it's been going on since then.
Yeah, they're waiting until Mario Kart 8 is done.
Yeah.
Man, it's so much easier to just say, yo, I got burned by this company real bad. Like, can we just be honest? Like, that's a $60 burn. I got washed on that one. Shit.
Hey, we all learn lessons.
Hey, there's still some Kickstarters I'm waiting on.
Here's the thing. I can't even say I got burned on it because I've never even played the damn thing. I don't know when I'll ever get around to it.
I don't know what you didn't miss.
Yeah, exactly.
There's just... I feel like we need to do an intervention episode. Oh, this is wild. Holy
Adam,
Christ.
Adam, you should come up and see my Rock Band library sometime. It's pretty cool.
No, here's the thing about that. No, because it's insane. It's lunacy. I saw it years ago.
Yeah, like a decade ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pre-Mario Kart 8.
And it was already too much. Like, if you wanted to find music, it took you like 40 minutes. And you've probably quadrupled your collection since then. I'm not interested in the menu game. You have turned Rock Band into a menuing game. Didn't even know that was possible, but that's where we're at.
The thing is, I made it easier because if there's a song you want to play, I have it.
That, no. Okay.
After the
there's a song like you want
to
play in
5 hours 50, to find yeah, it.
45 minutes.
That's like saying, all right, here's an entire 26-foot box truck full of Rice Krispie treats. I know you want a chocolate one, and I know that there is one in there. Go ahead and look for it. Like, that doesn't sound fun to me.
Actually, I mean, since I'm going to eat all the Rice Krispie treats, yeah, it sounds great to me.
Yeah, I mean, good luck with that.
Songs are in alphabetical order, at least.
Sir, your blood is made of marshmallow. Can you please respond?
Diabetic coma. Did anyone else have any news, or are we about to dive into some AEW?
No, news is clearly depressing the shit out of me and everyone else.
Well, there's news for Fight Forever today, so we can just get into it and transition in. So yeah,
I had news.
Oh God.
Okay, what's your news? Is it movie watch news?
No, it is actually not movie watch news. First off, there is an Angry Birds Cafe that's opened up in New York City. Aki, did I ask if you fucking cared?
I don't care.
No. Look, Joe, I didn't ask if you cared either. I don't give a damn if it's your own podcast. I'm going to talk about shit. Anyway, the Kerbal Space Program, somebody has submitted a set to LEGO Ideas, and it's the latest space project to get 10K signatures for it, so LEGO may consider it. And also, a huge trove of documents from Sega back in the 90s has leaked, which is pretty interesting because now people are reading through all their thoughts on Sony launching the PlayStation. And, you know, oh, well, the Saturn's doing fine against the PlayStation in Japan. And then, like, a couple months later, it was kicking the shit out of them. And then Sega, like, if you look through the documents, like, Sega essentially goes into panic mode and, like, is like, oh shit, all these titles aren't going to be ready for E3, you know, to tie it back into earlier stuff, but also not ready for the Christmas season either. And they're like, we need this game out like by July 15th. And it was slated for like the end of August and stuff like that. It's a constant stream of this, as well as Sega CEO being like, what the fuck is with all these Sega Saturn ads? Like, who the hell are you even trying to like advertise this to? So, yeah.
See, while I had both, Saturn was still a super dope system. Like, Saturn ruled. Had a great ton of great titles. But, like, yeah.
I've only played them via PC, but, like, a lot of those fighting game titles I absolutely adore. Like, Virtua Fighter 2 is one of my favorites to this day.
Yeah.
That Last Bronx, Fighting Vipers, they're all fucking solid.
The Japanese Symphony of the Night release on Saturn is the only way to play the extra levels.
Huh.
Fun fact.
I'm surprised they never re-released that content elsewhere.
Yeah, that's the only... they may have, like, way later down the line, like, way more recently, but I know at least for a very, very long time, the Saturn, Japanese Saturn release was the only way to play those extra levels. And I think there was an extra boss as well, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't remember. Too old. I'm too old. I can't remember shit. Jacob, any other news?
We're getting an Overwatch anime miniseries for all two of you who care.
Oh, God, am I glad to hear that.
Oh, and the Gulf War Game Boy has been returned to Nintendo's headquarters.
I heard about that. It's been retired from the Nintendo store.
Wasn't it in the Smithsonian for a while?
I don't know. It might have been. I know it was in the Nintendo store in New York for years.
I know that I saw it in person in Washington, D.C. at some point in my childhood.
Well, it might have been in the Smithsonian then.
I was going to say, because they did have a big video game exhibit for a while.
Yep. Okay. Yep. That's cool. That's cool that it's, you know, kind of being protected. It should be. It's a cool piece of history.
Yeah. And that's all the news I got.
All right. So we ready to dive into these reviews?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess.
All right. First game to talk about tonight is AEW Fight Forever, developed by Yuke's, published by THQ Nordic, released June 29th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $59.99. Developed by Yuke's, AEW Fight Forever combines nostalgic arcade wrestling with all elite wrestling finishers and moves. Featuring a big roster of AEW talent, multiple match types, robust career mode, tons of customization options, more than 40 weapons, and so much more. Tim and Adam, you two check this one out. Who wants to start?
I'll make mine short and sweet because I know we're gonna go way fast or way more in depth to this. But to answer your question, Joe, should you buy this game? Yes, on several platforms, three or four times over. That is the answer to that question. Tim, would you like to elaborate a little?
Yeah, sure. I guess I'll go into detail from there. So, yeah, and I guess to get this up front, I think that my journalistic, such as it is, integrity may be in question with this, because me and Adam are both such, and Joe, yep, are such homers for All Elite Wrestling.
Oh, we are mega marks.
Massive fans of the company since the beginning. Yes. We watch the shows every week together. Shut up,
J-Lethal! Literally, 3 days a week, we spend time together to watch wrestling.
Sometimes more. Because they keep adding on. Yeah, but we have over 3 years watching Dynamite at the very least together every Wednesday night since early 2020.
Yeah, since the pandemic started, we have been watching together, and that, now we're that honestly, reviewing together. Oh my God, we've come to
that.
Together.
Honestly, was a conversion of me and Matt watching at literally from the first episode, every episode of Dynamite together, and then forced lockdowns just shifted that idea to Discord, and we invited more people, and now it's the best group ever.
Yeah, and early on in All Elite Wrestling's life, I think even it was after they had their first pay-per-view, but maybe before they had their second pay-per-view, they were out there and they're like, we're making a video game and we want it to be like this video game, as they held up a copy of No Mercy or Virtual Pro Wrestling, or it was an N64 cartridge, and everybody knew what they were talking about and where they were going with this, is that they wanted to make a game that was like those old N64 wrestling games, which are widely considered to be the best wrestling games ever made. I would agree with that. I love Here Comes the Pain on PS2. I think that one is top tier. But you know, since then, any competition in the area has been like, there was an Impact wrestling game that was garbage, probably a few of them, some other odd, you know, Legends of Wrestling stuff. And the WWE games themselves have mostly been terrible since after the PS2 era. They've just been garbage. Because
to be fair, that's to the American market. New Japan had a couple games out, but unless you knew about New Japan, you didn't know about the games.
Yeah, there's Fire Pros would pop up here in the States every now and then. For the most part, you know, it was just like, we're going to pump out another WWE game every single year, everyone's going to complain about it. And yeah, everybody is just like, oh my God, if we could just get a game like these old hockey games, that would just be amazing, just shined up. And so it's just been hype for 4 years waiting for this game. And I'm just like, my God, I just want this game to be good. And in fact, I don't care about anything else about this game, so long as the in-ring action is good and feels like those old games. And if that's all good, that's all that's going to fucking matter to me. That's all I want. And there are issues with this game that we'll certainly get into, but none of them really have anything to do with the wrestling in the ring, which is awesome. So they did it. They nailed it. They nailed the in-ring stuff, the most important part of the game. And I am super pleased with that.
It's would so you say much that it fun. Was a...
Oh boy.
No, it wasn't a surprise because we knew AEW was going to deliver. See, okay. Like Kenny Omega, one of the EVPs of the company, for people that don't know, is like not only a phenomenal wrestler, like he's one of the best wrestlers in the world. And that is not a biased thought. That's a world known thought. But he's also like a hyper video game nerd. This, like, his Twitter handle is Kenny Omega Man. Like, the dude,
his finisher is the one winged angel.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, everything about he just adores video games just like us. Mm-hmm. So, like, with him being at the forefront of AEW games and him working directly with Yuke's because he is a very comfortable Japanese speaking person, like, he got all of the ideas that the company, an American company, wanted over to the company completely flawlessly, and they delivered on the exact product that they were promising as far as gameplay is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
so it's so fun.
Yeah, they broke out the strikes. You know, the old Aki games, just to summarize real quick, you'd have like your strike button, your grapple button. You had a grapple counter, which was kind of like a duck. You had a strike counter, which was a block, and that created like a rock, paper, scissors. Okay, you can block somebody's strike, but if you try to block somebody's strike, they can grab you, but then you can try to throw off the grapple or dodge back from it. And it was just kind of, you know, one counters the other, counters the other, counters the other. And that was like the fundamental basis of that game. And if you hit the right button when you were grappled, then you would just reverse it, or you could reverse people's strikes too, instead of outright blocking them. It created like a lot of depth in the system and mind games, which is what just made it part of what made it work so well. And they have that intact here. They've broken out the strikes to two buttons, punches and kicks. And they have, you know, the grapple, they have those same other things, the blocking, the grapple blocking, but then there's many more intricacies built into all of those buttons, which can be kind of overwhelming when you're first learning the game. And
which is where my problems all lie. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you do something. If you hit the punch button, you'll throw out a punch. You can set up characters have combos if you hit the button twice. If you hit the button while leaning the stick, you do a different strike. If you hold down the button, you do a stronger strike. And that's like, same thing with the punches, same thing with the kicks. With the grapples, if you know, light grapple, you tap the button, you just grab them, and you have a certain set of grapple attacks open. You have some, if you hit, you know, punch or kick or grapple again, or if you hit up or left or right, or wait, no, not left or right, the sides are the same, like up, left, or down with a button, that's a different grapple attack. So anytime you hit a grapple, you could have any of 12 different options at your disposal, plus whipping your opponent into the ropes or into the turnbuckle or attempting to throw them over the top rope. Then strong grapple, same thing, 12 more move options available. And that's just from the front. If you grab someone from behind, there are fewer options, but there are still, there's like three or six, or I think there's six.
Yeah.
Every time with each grapple.
It's half. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just neutral and then pushing the stick in a certain direction. So you're just like all these things you can do at your disposal. You can set up all these moves on your characters. And just, I love having that huge variety of movement at my disposal, because then it's like, okay, when you whip somebody into the ropes and they come running inexplicably off of them, maintaining their momentum as all wrestlers have to do, you push a button and you will do like a throw on them, or you push kick and you'll do a kick attack, you push punch, you'll do a punch attack, or you can run against the ropes yourselves and do a running grapple kick or punch. You know, you can slam your opponent to the ground while they're lying on the ground. Then you have grapples at their head, at their feet, different strikes at their head, at their feet, if they're facing up, if they're facing down. You can you can do springboard moves. Well, yeah, on the sides, you can do springboard moves. You can just jump off the middle rope and do a moonsault, or you can go to the top rope and springboard off there. Well, they distinguish springboard. This is like one of the craziest things in the game to me once I figure this out, because there's springboard moves from the inside of the ring back to the inside of the ring, from the inside of the ring to the outside of the ring, from the outside of the ring to the inside of the ring, from the inside to the inside.
Shit going on.
From the corner specifically, if you're in the corner, you can go inside, inside, or inside, to outside, or from the top rope into the ring, or the top rope out of the ring. You can do running dives over the top rope. There's grab, like if you and the opponent are standing on either side of the rope, there's grapples specific to that. There's, you know, you throw them into the guardrails outside. Yeah. If they're leaned up against something, there's grapples for that. Like if they're in the corner in the ring, they're just, the move set is for any individual character is huge and varied. And
it's customizable too.
I want that stuff. And that is what I got.
Yeah. The fact that you can customize your move set like that is insane. Mm-hmm. Like you can make a wrestler do basically all the things that you want your wrestler to do.
Yeah.
And you were talking about like up against the guardrail and stuff. That's not even mentioning the fact that you can literally burst through the guardrail and fight in the crowd. You can fight up the ramp and slam somebody into the video wall. And the first time you do it, it pixelates everything. And the second time you do it, it shatters the screen. Like, there's so many crazy little details that they put in the gameplay itself that's so much fun. Like,
yeah.
The emphasis was, we want to make this cool looking, but like really fun.
Yeah, like if you are not familiar with a wrestler named Orange Cassidy, one of the greatest, most devastating and savage wrestlers on the planet.
No doubt.
He is very much known for dramatically putting his hands into his pockets during a match and then wrestling with his hands in his pockets, which is a thing you can do in this game. They built in a stance for you to put hands in pockets and wrestle that way.
Yeah, it's called sloth style, which is exactly what it's supposed to be called.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you can do a hands in pockets Hurricane Rana to put your opponent on the ground and then pin your opponent hands in pockets. I yelled so loud when I did that my wife yelled at me. That's the beautiful. First time she's ever yelled at me in this house about playing a video game, because we are two rooms away. But I was so hyped. It was incredible.
Yeah. And like, when you get into the
little details of the game, there's so many little details in the career mode that are just hilarious. Like it feels like they went into this game like they don't give a shit what critics think of this game. They not just wanted to make something for the fans.
And yeah, I think game that's is 100% fan service. Yeah, 100%. And the fact that Road to the Elite, like their story progression, the fact that there is four different chapters that you go through, but there's like four or five different options that those chapters can be. So the replayability is there. No, it's at least four.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I know like the women have like, I think one specifically, yeah, there's a few. The point is that there's different things and there's different twists and turns it can take, regardless of whether you lose matches along the way or sometimes because you lose matches along the way.
Right. Yeah. It is funny though. Like in the playthrough that I did with Orange Cassidy, of course, the first chapter I won the world title and then it was just never mentioned again throughout the whole story. And I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, one of the astonishing things to me about the story mode is how bad it is, but in the correct way.
Right?
In that it is echoing a story mode from a late 90s wrestling game where the writing is full of like weird non sequiturs and just bafflingly weird things, but also like a ton of like All Elite Wrestling in jokes along the way. And there's the mini games, which are this whole other thing where the premise is like you're on the YouTube show being the Elite, which is up to like, you know, 400, 300 some odd episodes at this point, which is kind of how this company generated to begin with. There's just like a like if you're not. Yeah. Like, no, you know, it's for people who watch BTE, but then you have the story mode itself and Yeah, it has different chapters, branching paths. If you lose, you just keep chugging forward. Sometimes that's a little weird. Sometimes, you know, the dialogue doesn't always line up, but it all just kind of works because it is so strange.
Yep.
But what you're doing along the way, and I think it works best if you do it with a custom character, because at that point you're actually like building up that character, which you can't do with like the regular AEW wrestlers. Which I wish you could kind of just wipe them to go in there, but then they wouldn't have all their moves and then they wouldn't be who they are. But yeah, no. So you're going in and you're earning money, which you can use to buy upgrades for your character, which is like stat upgrades, which will unlock like more finisher slots or make their finishes more powerful. Or there's like passive bonus. Like there's one and going into the character creator and doing this mode is kind of how you see like a lot of the gears that are turning in the game and why certain characters can do what they do, because you have to buy like a perk if you want to do springboard moves or, you know, over the top rope moves or do this kind of move or this kind of move. Or if you want to be better at like chain wrestling or there's one that's like for like the bad guy wrestlers, where it's like once per match, they will pop up when they're about to be pinned and hit their opponent in the balls. Just boom, nut shot. Or there's another one where they'll just do a quick small package roll up and pin you. And that has gotten me multiple times, just out of nowhere. Just, like you think you got them. And then it's like, oh shit, they have that perk where they can turn around a pinning predicament once per match. And then they get your ass. Cause you're not ready. Yeah.
The one that I hated was the big fellers that get the anti-air defense, where if you do springboard, they just catch you slam you.
Yeah. But it's Brian Cage and he does that.
Big motherfucker.
Yeah, just true. Like that. And you know, you can buy
sound clips while I can, by the way.
You absolutely are. So you're managing like your stamina and your energy levels to keep yourself in good shape for the matches and like doing working out and side things. So there's things to balance and there's more of that when you're going through again with a created character. When I was doing a run with like an AEW, I was going through with Malakai Black because I just wanted to waste people. Yeah, it just felt like I had generally less to do with playing through it. So it might not be something. They ambitiously have in the character select, you can filter by who you haven't beaten the mode with. And it's tough to see me playing through it 40 or 50 times with literally everybody, but you're going to get a few playthroughs out of it for sure. It's fun. It's weird. It's not too long.
I hate that we have to do this, but there are some negatives of the game. So
yeah, absolutely.
There are.
My first big complaint is voice acting. I wish there was voice acting in the campaign. And what voice acting there is generally underwhelming. Like JR in this game sounds like he took an Ambien before he hit the recording.
Yeah, JR was not into the voice recording sessions. First and foremost,
he didn't take an Ambien. He definitely drank an entire bottle of barbecue sauce. Okay. The second thing is he's like 100. So, like, I give him a little bit, but you're right. He was a tough choice to put in this game. He was a tough choice. I think Excalibur nailed it. I think his lines, the spoken lines that he does have, are fantastic. Yeah. I think Taz phoned it in slightly. Mm-hmm. I also wish that there was during match commentary. That's one thing that I do think they dropped the ball.
Yeah. There's not a lot of voice, like it's just kind of voice clips that are peppered in here and there. Like early on, you get William Regal popping up with like a little bit of advice.
This is the tutorial.
Yeah.
All right.
But there's no lines that are voice acted. And in the story mode, I think a lot of that is because like in those side scenes, they're meant to be interchangeable between wrestlers, as it just kind of throws in whoever the game feels like.
No.
I do like how like there is voice acting, like the actual wrestlers have them for certain like moves or taunts, like Brian Cage does who better. And I like the little detail here and there. But negatives. I think the one that everybody goes right after is the character creator is disappointing from a aesthetic standpoint, like in terms of customizing the look of your character. It is pretty sad, especially compared to other games in the genre. Now, when it comes to customizing their moveset, like, oh my god, you can do everything. But as far as like just the amount of like clothes and colors, or like there's no like stickers just to stick on them, there's not much you can do. And that is a bummer for sure.
I agree.
Yeah. That's the biggest bummer to me.
To me, the biggest bummer is the lack of crossplay.
Yeah.
That was something that was openly discussed for a long time, and now there's like ghost whispers. So I don't even know if it's something that they're going to look into.
Yeah.
I really, really, really hope they do.
Yeah, because you know, we got you know, we are grateful for codes for review, but we got them on two different platforms, so we couldn't play against each other.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
But yeah, I've seen in terms of like modes and match types, they have ladder match, they have the exploding death match with a very funny Easter egg in it.
have you seen that yet? Because I haven't.
Not live in the game. No, I have.
I haven't either. Go and me and Matt and Scott have played it like 15 times to see if we could get it.
Interesting. That must be. It must be like very rare or something.
There's a certain way that you have to unlock it, and then you can choose which one you set.
Do you have to 69 in the middle of the ring first?
69 me. Oh, that's a voice clip we need. 69 me, Don.
Oh my god.
Oh, I don't have that one.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Forgot about that.
I know. Think,
yeah. It has online, yeah, it has online play, but yeah, like no crossplay.
And the people online are incredibly talented. I've gotten my ass relentlessly whooped, but I'm learning. Yeah. I'm learning. But, I'm getting better.
Hey, you know, the people who, you know, complained about lack of modes and lack of stuff, the good news is they've already announced that there's getting a Stadium Stampede mode, which in real life AEW is insane. It was a pair of cinematic matches that took place like during, you know, more serious pandemic times, where, you know, two teams of wrestlers would fight inside of a football stadium. And this, the way it manifests,
it had the same owner.
yeah. The Jacksonville Jaguars. Which was literally attached to the place where they were wrestling. In the game, this is manifesting as a 30-player battle royale mode that they just announced today and looks like batshit insane.
It looks so crazy.
The jumping. Fact that Hangman can ride a horse is lunacy, and yeah,
The image of Yuka Sakazaki running around with a Molotov cocktail is not one that will leave my brain anything. So, you know, hey, they're already working on it. They're already adding stuff to the game.
And adding characters. There's already like the first DLC pack is out that has Cash and Dax.
Oh, nice.
They said that they were also going to be adding Kenny hinted at the customization add-ons too.
Yeah. So this is a game they're looking to support in the long haul. So it's going to improve over time. They are releasing. Yeah. They already had three DLC packs of characters lined up of additional wrestlers. Yeah, the roster, I guess, didn't mention it is kind of a weird mishmash in that, like, the company's been around for four years now,
almost four,
and you have some wrestlers that were there at the very beginning who don't often show up on AEW TV, like the aforementioned Yuka Sakazaki, who was in Japan for 2-3 years because she had to be but then you have wrestlers who have been more prominent like within the last like year and a half, like Swerve Strickland, who is not in the game, Keith Lee, who's coming as DLC, like some characters you think like, wow, they've been around a while, I would have thought they would be in the game, but they're not. Yeah, like Danhausen, well, Danhausen's DLC coming.
Yeah,
you know,
well, there's no way he's not coming to the game.
You have he's Cody already. Rhodes you have
oh Cody I didn't Rhodes. Know that okay
yeah that's that yeah the Hookhausen DLC pack
yeah the First pack, which is out now, is the FTR Revival pack, which has Dax and Cash, plus two new mini games. Next is going to be the Bunny and Keith Lee, and then the third one is Hook and Danhausen.
Yeah.
Oh shit! Yeah.
But yeah, then you have like Cody Rhodes, who left the company and appeared in the WWE game this year before this one actually came out, but he is still there in all of his Cody glory. But I appreciate, like with the Stadium Stampede, this game has mini games that are just bizarre and weird and goofy and funny. They're like little Mario Party mini games that are, to be frank, all pretty janky because they're being created in this wrestling game engine, but yeah, they're fun. And it just, like, why are you doing this? And you're doing this because it's fun, which is, you know, why is All Elite Wrestling doing some things that they do? They do it because it's fun. So the game, I think, really, is embodying the spirit of the company that it's based on. And I look forward to this game, you know, continuing to improve.
I feel like I agree with that entirely. I feel like they really, really focused hard on making the game have a just titanium reinforced foundation, as in gameplay. And they're gonna build all of the other stuff that people were hoping for on top of that foundation, and I recognize that. But like, they nailed the basis of an old school wrestling game so very perfectly. It's like almost shocking still, and I've been playing it for weeks. I can't recommend, if you liked the games from like the, like Joe, Tim was saying before, like the PS2 or the N64 era, this game is not only like that, it is that, and it's made by the same developer. Like, you can't get more true to the source.
It's not Aki. Aki didn't develop this. This has some of the developers from there, actually developed by Yuke's.
Not to be confused with Aki, who can't eat.
Yeah. Right. It's actually developed by Yuke's, who have made all of the, up until like two games ago, all the recent WWE games. So that's why I was kind of worried about this one, because I thought we would get another WWE game. But they have that awesome foundation of N64 style wrestling.
It was clear they had a vision, for what they wanted to look like.
It feels like a nice evolution of Def Jam Fight for New York.
And the other cool thing that you don't have to worry about is, or I would have said back then that you didn't have to worry about, is it's not being pushed by 2K.
Yeah.
So it's not given THQ. An unrealistic development deadline. Like, they're not just pushing it out to get a year on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we have been chatting about this one a while, so we got to wrap this up. It is a $60 game. What do the two of you think about this one?
I mean, I think it's well worth it. Yeah.
Yes, buy it twice. Yes. Yes. Get into goofy-ass barbed wire death matches with your friends. It's the game takes 5 minutes to fully comprehend. It's a lot like Othello. It's very easy to learn. Very, very easy to pick up and learn. But it's pretty difficult to master.
Yeah.
So it's a fantastic party game. It's got the couch co-op that you would hope for. If your friends have the same platform as you, line up and buy it all on the same platform. That way you can play with your friends. But in all seriousness, this game's absolutely worth full market price. 100% money.
Cool.
Fighting game I've literally been waiting decades for.
Yes.
Tony Khan, Stokely, what do you think of that?
Fantastic.
Thank you, guys. It means a lot.
We always know that they're in the chat.
Yeah, they're always listening. And of
maybe
course,
not in this chat.
Tony Khan will pay for his crimes.
Oh, but without a doubt. There's no doubt. This is not one of those crimes. No. Not at all.
I am kind of disappointed in the music selection. There's like 200 songs in the game. We can listen to this one. But we can't listen to
Ruby Show.
I mean, why couldn't they get Rancid? What's up with that?
I don't know. It's got to be a licensing thing.
Oh, man. All right, well, Adam, I guess that is it for you. Thank you so much for joining us and chatting about Fight Forever with us.
You're very welcome.
Do you have any other thoughts that you want to share before we let you go?
You know, here's the thing. I have a lot of thoughts. I have a lot of thoughts that are very powerful. Okay, Joe?
Okay.
The most prevalent one that comes to mind right now is that peanut butter and jelly sandwiches made with blueberry jelly are, like, so much better than grape jelly. It's almost embarrassing.
Ew.
So I just do.
Try it with strawberry. It's better.
I don't try it with strawberry.
Yeah. You think I would land on blueberry without getting the strawberry first? I'm sorry. Do you think that I'm a psychopath? I have gone down.
Because you went past strawberry. That tells me you're a psychopath.
No, I didn't. I've been eating strawberry jelly since its advent in the mid-90s, if you want to go down that road. But I'm just saying, blueberry jelly.
I might have to try that.
I'm just saying, it's quite delicious. You should give it a shot. It's nice and sweet. It's delicious. It's just fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. My other controversial opinion for the day is Old Bay hot sauce is better than all other hot sauces. And anybody outside of Maryland that disagrees with me can get wrecked. Have a good night. Take care.
Sounds good. And he's gone. All right. I was waiting for.
I hate Jeff Jarrett.
All right. Next game to talk about is Crime O'Clock, developed by Bad Seed, published by Just for Games, released June 30th on the Switch for $19.99. Travel through time, investigate relentlessly. Crime O'Clock is an explorative puzzle point-and-click game with evolving maps. Solve 40-plus black-and-white cases. Tim, what is Crime O'Clock?
Crime O'Clock. Man, it feels like a long time since I played this game because I did a lot in the last like week and a half, 2 weeks, I guess. So this is a sort of like a puzzle investigation, hidden picture almost type game, where it's, you know, the premise is that you are part of this agency that restores proper timelines. If somebody accidentally gets killed who shouldn't get killed, you're there to fix that situation. And sometimes it is a crime, and sometimes it's just happenstance. But you have to, you know, you're presented with a big, you know, page, a big mural, as it were, that's black and white with lots of characters. Think of looking at like a Where's Waldo page almost, except this one's all black and white. But yeah, you have this, you know, this big scene in front of you. And you'll say, be presented with a crime, like, okay, you know, I'll just walk you through like the first one. It's like, okay, somebody's broken into this woman's house. It's like, okay, when, you know, it wasn't broken in at this time, and then it will like blip back, like a certain amount of time will pass and it will move the scene back like a certain amount of time. It's not like a granular thing. It's just kind of like, oop, here's maybe like 5 minutes before. And then you can see like, oh, there's a guy creeping across the roof. That's the guy that, broke into the house. Like, okay, cool. So now we're going to move past that. So now we see what happened. The guy went in there. So where did he go after he broke in the house? And then you'll blip ahead and you'll have to try to find this guy again in the scene to figure out like where he went, what direction he's going in, this, that, and the other thing. So it's like, okay, you know, you're presented with a problem, and then there's the progression of the scene is like, okay, well, here's this, but now we need to find, you know, where, if an arrow was fired, where was the arrow fired from? Like, okay, you know, it's fired from over here. And then we can see this guy is like leaving the area where the arrow was fired from. And he has a crossbow in his hands, but then like time ticks and the crossbow isn't there anymore. Well, where did the crossbow go? And you have to like, you're searching around this map and like zooming in and out and trying to figure out where things are or find characters, or objects. And this gets punctuated by moments where you kind of have to do some like little mini games to like analyze data or line up sound frequencies or stuff like that. Nothing like too complicated, but just kind of something to break up, just kind of, you know, staring at a page and, you know, looking for a crime, a criminal, a piece of evidence, or whatever. And you know, as you find these things, like as you find the different spots where it's like, okay, here's where this guy ran to, and now he's over here, and then he dropped this thing here. You know, you can see that you're making like a clear trail, so you kind of get an idea of like the next area of where you should be looking in, or they'll tell you like, oh, it was in. Oh, no, they won't tell you this. That, well, they'll tell you if you ask, because each, you know, kind of moment has hints to it. And they'll say like, okay, you should be looking in, you know, the suspect was headed in like this direction. And then it's like, okay, well, he went into here. And then the last one will kind of be like, look at this, you idiot. which is fine, and that's what you want, and it doesn't really make you feel bad for breaking into hints, which is good, because you don't want to feel like a schlub. You just want to kind of get on with the game at that point. So that's how the game goes. They'll give you this big scene. There's a something that went down. You're kind of piecing together what happened and how to resolve it, so that, you know, you can go back in time at some point and be like, hey, police, you need to go talk to this guy to stop the crime from happening. If you are into that style of game, I think you're going to really enjoy this. The art looks really, really good. I just think there's like a good style to the way the scenes are drawn. They look really nice. They're fun to look over. It's fun, super, you know, to kind of look for other details off to the side that don't pertain to the case that you're investigating. And most importantly of all, despite the fact that this is not, I would say this is not a game that's like specifically in my wheelhouse. But man, my kid loved it. He was playing the crap out of it for like a few days, going through. I know for a fact that he is at a certain point, I was just kind of playing it alongside with him, as he was piloting it. 'Cause I'm like, I got the gist of how this game plays, let him have the fun. He was I'm pretty sure he was like close to, if not at the end of the game, and any game that can command my child's attention and is not like total garbage is something that I have a great appreciation for. I appreciated it myself, like when I was playing, despite, again, not my cup of tea, but it's a really, it's a good looking game. I think it's fun and not like overly challenging. Like there's some moments where like you got to find like these like random ass symbols on buildings, which I thought was kind of like garbage. Cause some, like at first you kind of don't know what you're looking for and then you figure it out. But sometimes like going through that part, me and my kid were just like, just give us the damn hints. Just tell us where the thing is. Like, this is not as fun as like trying to figure out where character X, Y, or Z went. But bottom line, it's a fun game, in that genre, that I think ticks the boxes that you want one of those games to tick, and is a, perhaps a good puzzle-solving crime game for a little kid.
Nice. Well, it is $20. What is your verdict?
Absolutely not. Yes. No. I will give it a buy it for sure. Oh, it has a demo out on Steam. If Very you want to nice. Check that out, it's not out on Steam for another couple weeks. So if you have a PC and I imagine like any computer is going to run this thing. If you want to get a little preview of it, check it out there. But I think in the long haul, you're gonna enjoy it.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, Tim, that's it for you. Any final thoughts on your end before we let you go?
Don't. Let me talk to you about Old Bay hot sauce or whatever the fuck Adam is talking about. Oh. Old Bay's good. I put Old Bay on some fish this very evening. So
Adam will be happy to hear that.
But yeah, I don't know. This people in Maryland might need to calm down a little bit about it, though. Just a little bit. All right.
Good Jacob, night. You're close to Maryland, aren't you? Is Old Bay big yeah. in your area?
Yeah. I mean, sizably big. And also my brother, he discovered it a few years ago, and now he puts it on every damn thing that he possibly can. So,
nice.
Yeah, I like it. It's great. I mean, wait, you have sheets? Haven't you ever had Old Bay on your chicken strips or anything?
No.
Oh, man, you're not living.
Didn't claim I was.
That's fair.
Next game to talk about, Russian Subway Dogs, developed and published by Spooky Squid Games, released June 27th on Xbox One and Series X and S for $14.99. A fast-paced arcade game inspired by the real-life stray dogs of the Moscow Metro. Take your orders from the proletariat while stealing food, juggling vodka, cooking bears, and more. Features both a lengthy campaign and pick-up-and-play arcade mode. Jacob, what is going on with Russian Subway Dogs?
So with this, there is like a story mode, which has your leaders, which are cats, of course, telling you, like, we need to, you know, we need to take the train into Moscow and, like, get all, like, this is where all the good food is. So we need you to, like, hop onto these trains and, like, make your way to each thing. And in that mode, what happens is that you have to accumulate so many points within a certain amount of time so you can advance to the next stage. And if you don't, then your dog just dies because your dog is very hungry. Like, your dog dies of hunger despite the fact that you just ate, like, a ton of shawarma or burgers or whatever people are carrying on the subway system. And I'm going to warn you right now, this is not like a simple game. Like, and the best thing is that there is, you can switch difficulty. It's, there's normal and tourist. And if you're a tourist, it's supposedly easier, but I wouldn't know. Because I, like, the game is, like, ridiculously difficult. And so what happens is that you control this little dog on the subway platform. And as I said, like, you have X amount of time to gather points. And so what happens is that these people will step off the subway and you have to bark, like, you have to get up behind them, bark, and then which will cause them to, like, drop whatever they're carrying. And it might be a bit of food. It might be vodka, which is flammable. You know, there's all sorts of stuff. And they're, like, with things becoming flammable, that causes food nearby to get cooked. And if it gets cooked, then it's a more filling meal and you get more points that way. And so you really have to start planning out everything in terms of, you know, you have to scare the guy to drop his food, but, like, you also have to, like, make sure that somebody with the vodka is lined up. And then you also need to be able to, like, be close enough so that you're able to grab the food, but not close enough that you're going to get burned by it, by the vodka explosion, which is also going to send the food flying. So you have to be ready to be able to catch it in the air too, which does grant you a nice bonus. But as I said, it requires a lot of timing and precision, and it's a legitimately difficult game. It's fun, but it's difficult. I will warn you that. Like, as I said, I played on tourist, and I just... Yeah,
sucked.
No.
You sucked.
Sucked.
Sucked. Sweet.
My dog constantly died.
Proud of you. I am very proud of you.
Thank you.
I do appreciate the weird shit in this game. Like, you look at some of the screenshots, and some, like, one of the achievements is to hit three pigeons with a bear attack.
Yeah, or you cause the pigeons to get poisoned.
Yeah.
And also, I love the dialogue between the leader cat, the dog, and the kittens, because the kittens are just ridiculous with all their demands for things.
What's beeping? But yeah,
and they're, I don't know.
Aki, is something beeping on your end?
My mic's been muted this whole time, so no.
Oh, huh. That's weird.
I don't know.
Anyway, Russian Subway Dogs is available for $15. What are your thoughts on it?
Honestly, like, I had fun with it. But again, like, let me make it perfectly clear. This is a difficult game. Do not let the game trailers fool you. Like, you're going to spend a lot of time, and it's an intricate game that, like, it's going to be more difficult than it lets on, but there's a system to it. And if you can get the system down pat, I think you're going to have a fun time. Like, I mean, I had a fun time, even though I really sucked at the game, but just understand you're going in for a huge challenge. So yeah, so I'd recommend it. Just as I said, be mindful.
Cool. All right, moving on. Next game, Word Maze by Paugi, developed and published by Lightwood Games, released June 28th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $7.99. Like a wiggly word search, find the words to solve the maze. It's a new and unique word search variation exclusive to Paugi. Jacob, what is Word Maze by Paugi?
So pretty much you're just given this word search kind of setup. It's a weird it's a weird game to describe without pictures.
Yeah, it's basically a grid of letters.
Oh, yeah, that's... How come I'm the one with the English major?
Because you word good.
All right, yeah, so it's a grid of letters, and every single puzzle, it will give you a starting word. And of course, all of them have themes, and each theme has six puzzles within it. And it gives you the starting word, and then you have to figure out what the next word from that theme is going to be. And there is a hint system. All you have to do is just hit the left and right bumper at the same time, and it'll give you the word bank. Otherwise, you're on your own. And it all depends on, like, what you know. I mean, some of them I flew right through, like U.S. presidents. There's also, like, a U.S. states one. I was also good with the African countries one. Fabric actually wasn't too bad either. But yeah,
it's I'm the just guy like, who would play this with the hints on all the, like, I just want to see the words and figure out the maze through the grid. I don't want to have to figure out what the words are too.
See, what I do is that, when I've hit a wall, I will, hit the word bank, figure out what word from that bank is near me, like, which is whatever, what I'm supposed to be going to next. And then I won't look at like, I'll keep it like, I don't want to say like I'll have blinders because I don't physically give myself blinders, but like I won't look at the word bank again unless I absolutely have to. It's a decently challenging game. I mean, it's still not like Paugi's most challenging in my opinion, which is Ladders, but it's definitely up there, especially if you're not going to use the hint system.
How many puzzles are there?
I think it's a standard 150. I'm not sure. I haven't beaten it yet. I haven't 1K'd it yet. I've been playing as you're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So, I haven't solved everything yet, but yeah, I play it, I play it almost every evening for a few rounds. And yeah, it's a good chill game. Like, I really enjoy it, and I'm glad Paugi's still releasing stuff. I will say this, though. I really wish Paugi would get new music for, or Lightwood Games would get new music for these games, because, holy crap, we've been listening to the same tunes for, like, the last ever.
Yeah.
But, but there's that, and then also, I'm not sure if this, if the game supports, the feature where it's just like auto resume, whatever it is.
Quick resume.
Thank you.
That's a system level thing. Pretty sure most, if not all games support it. I don't know if there's a way to, I don't know how that works. Okay.
Well, the thing is that, with this game, I've now encountered this twice where I'll hop back into it with quick resume, and the game will not let me move the cursor on the board. And so then, so I have to quit out and then hop back in. And then, you know, I just go right back to what I was doing, but that's still a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
But
that's probably like, it's not, fix.
Yeah. It's not like something that is a game killer for me. I'm not going to be like, oh, don't buy this. Like, cause you have to like, you know, exit out and then restart the game. Like, no.
Although I could picture you saying that. It's $7.99, which is par for the course for Lightwood titles. I think this is a good one. I love the maze aspect. I'm always a fan of word searches, and the maze aspect is just a fun twist on it, and I think it's a good $8 pickup.
Yeah, and it's a solid game out of the Paugi series. I'd recommend it for $8.
Cool. All right, one last game for you, Jacob. Shoot Vader's The Beginning, developed by Seven Raven Studios, published by Total Console, released June 28th on Xbox One, Series X and S, 29th on the Switch, 30th on PS4, PS5 for $6.99. The space mission center has ordered you to fly into space and find a new planet. New planet will bring a new possibilities to humankind. The fight won't be easy. The universe has many alien groups that want to stop you. Jacob, what is going on in Shoot Vader's The Beginning?
So it's a top-down shmup, and it's generally simplistic with how it is. there, when you start up the game, you are given the chance to upgrade your ship as you see fit with various stuff. And the game, I do appreciate how the game gives you like the statistics on like, well, this is what happens if you add this weapon, like this is how it fires, this is how much energy it uses, all that kind of stuff. So you can make, you know, good decisions, hopefully, as to how you're going to arm your ship. And then you get out there and you start blasting away all the baddies. It's a standard shmup. You blast away until you die. But it does actually break up the monotony of like a simple, like Space Invaders esque, shmup. And what it does is that you have to go through these quote unquote corridors, and they are areas that your ship cannot fire on, like, because it's these like little cannons that are on the side of the wall. You can't fire on them. And so you have to do your best to avoid them, or hopefully you've got enough shields left over that are going to take care of them. And it's just like, you just have to get through the corridor and then you're back at it again, blasting away aliens until you die. And then once you've died, the game tallies up how much of like the little coins that you've picked up, or alien material that you've picked up, and you could use that to buy new upgrades for your ship. Upgrades for your ship. That's pretty much it. Honestly, it's pretty entertaining. Like, it's not the greatest shmup I've ever played. Definitely not the worst. It's
very much a score chaser kind of game.
Yeah, although I do appreciate how all the achievements say test on the description. They still do. Yeah. because the main, like, description that, like, when it initially pops, it'll say what it is, but then, like, it says test, after a second, and it's just like, okay. But, like, I mean, the game tells you what you have to do through the, you know, through the titles of them. Yeah. But it's not going to set the world on fire. But, you know, for $6, like, it's not a bad choice.
$6.99.
Seven. I don't know that. Yeah, it's
$7. Fine. Fuck this game. Jesus. $6.99. What is your official verdict on this one?
It's not going to set the world on fire. I'd give it like a try it. But honestly, like at $7 at the same time, it's a fuck it. Why not?
Fair. All right. That's it for you, Jacob.
Woo.
Yeah. You sticking around or are you heading out?
Oh, I'm heading out.
Oh, okay.
I got some mac and cheese with my name on it.
You're not supposed to talk about food.
Why not?
Because of Aki.
I wasn't there for that conversation. Remember, I was pooping.
Yeah, I can't, because I have some weird fillings in my mouth that I'm not allowed to eat for 24 hours, and I haven't eaten since 4 p.m. yesterday.
You can't eat anything?
Nothing hard, and I don't have any soft foods in the house, because apparently bread is hard.
Why don't you just drink applesauce?
I don't have any.
Why don't you have any applesauce?
Why would I just have random fucking applesauce?
To eat applesauce?
Why wouldn't you eat applesauce?
I just don't.
It's good, though.
Yeah, like applesauce is great. Like, and you're an adult, you can just drink it right out of the bottle. Yeah. Not that I do chug that.
Chug applesauce. There's Jacob's final word, right?
Chug applesauce. That needs to be the name of the episode now.
Applesauce chugging.
Chugging applesauce. Shit, all right, have a good night, you fucks.
All right, moving on. Next game, Front Mission First Remake, developed and published by Forever Entertainment, released July 12th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC for $34.99. Front Mission First Remake is an immersive tactical turn-based RPG placing you in command of awe-inspiring military machines. Aki, what is going on in Front Mission Remake?
Okay, so first and foremost, it has two different campaigns in it, and this is set basically during a war, so it's one person on both sides. I only played one of them because I had long games to work on. And basically, in the campaign that I played, you play as what's supposed to be Lloyd, but ends up being Royd because I don't know why they did that. That was a really bad error. And you have joined the military. You're a real young lieutenant, you know, one of the youngest ones. And everyone's like, oh, cool. Now you're going to be a mech pilot because fuck it. Why not, I guess?
Why did I say this released July 12th? Why do I have that in my notes? It came out June 30th. What the hell?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I think there might be a sale on it until July 12th. I don't know. It's available now for $34.99. So there.
So in this, you're taught how to be this mech pilot for what's called a Wanzer, is what they decide to call these things, which is just a really hilarious name to me because it's like, I'm going to pilot a Wanzer. It sounds almost like you're like, I'm going to pilot a onesie. Yay! No.
Wanzer.
Yeah, it's a Wanzer. you and your wife, your fiance, she's also a pilot because you guys are smart, I guess. And you're sent out to go do some reconnaissance because you're not allowed to fight. Because if you fight, that might cause an international incident and cause a war. So you guys get obviously ambushed and your wife dies. And you're kicked out of the military. So now you live as basically someone who does arena fights for a living just to get by as basically a loser until one day some military asshole shows up and they want you in their military group to lead some people. So it's up to you to go do whatever mission the person says, hey, you're going to do this mission. And that's basically the structure of the game. You have an area where basically you can go to each little city and you can interact with the bar. It allows you to talk to whoever's there. They don't usually have much to say, but you can get side quests and occasionally recruit people from bars by interacting with people at random points. Sometimes you have to go back to prior cities and interact with those bars in order to get stuff. You can interact with the shop and buy different parts for your mech. You have different weapons from melee to short range weapons, and short range weapons can be anything from like assault rifles to shotguns. You can buy long range weapons, which are all missile pods. And then you can even deck out your actual mech itself by buying different legs, buying individual arms, and the chest, the body portion of it. Each one of them has different stats from defense to HP to how fast they move. They all have weights and power amounts, and that determines how many moves you can move per turn. Most of this is you just go up to a bot and you shoot it until it dies or until you die. It's really questionable on who's going to die first in this game, especially at the beginning, because this is a hard fucking game at the beginning. After you've played it for a while, not so hard. But the beginning, it's a bitch. Every weapon in here has a percentage chance of hitting. And for weapons that have multiple bullets that fire in it, for like SMGs and stuff, each one of those has that same percentage chance. So it's not like you either hit with like four bullets or you'd miss. No, you can hit with any number of those bullets. They're not targeted on any specific thing unless you get a skill, and skills are hard to get in this game. So you're basically just firing and whatever it hits, it hits. even though this thing is like 20 feet from you, you can't aim for shit apparently. In this, you, after every mission that you play, you tend to get a new city you can go to and new upgraded stuff that you can buy, be it weapons and parts, and occasionally chipsets, which just give you bonuses to hit with different, like this chip might give you a bonus to hit to melee, but it may be really bad for like short range weapons, so on and so forth. So in between each mission, you usually find a new city, get upgrades, and you want to buy those or else you're going to die a lot, a whole lot, like constantly, as you saw. And for every one of these missions you go into, you get a certain amount of money. And if you have to repair your bot, it costs some of that money. However, you don't have to really worry about like, oh, I went in here, I did really bad. I still won, but I did so bad, I didn't make any money. I have nothing. You don't have to really worry about that, because you can also turn around and go into your arena battles and fight those and make some money, because you can bet. As long as you have like 100 money, you can bet and make some of that back if you win. Anyways, and you get to see what everyone's mech is and what their general abilities are. Like, oh, this one's has this number in for its melee, so it's really good at melee, but it's not good at shooting things, so on and so forth, to help you just figure out how you need to build your suit and such. And yeah, it's all very mission-based. It's all very money-based. Go make a bunch of money and then buy upgrades. Go do mission. Come back, farm the arena a little bit so you can buy things again. Upgrade your suit. Go do next mission. And that's what the other campaign's very much like, too. I just don't know necessarily the story behind it.
Yeah.
It's these stories aren't particularly amazing because it's mostly just what's the backstory. Okay, now you're going to play a bunch of missions.
Yeah, well, these are remakes of like way old.
Oh, yeah.
I think they were Super Nintendo originally.
I believe so. Yes, these are ancient fucking games.
So they're getting some overhauls. This is full on remake. It's $35. What do you think of it?
I think if you like the Front Mission series, I think that's totally worth it for this. For anyone who's like, I don't know, I would wait for a sale because there's not a lot really here. Each campaign, I think, if you're going everywhere and trying to do everything and trying to like level all your abilities up as high as you can to get all the good skills and stuff to breeze through the game, you're going to spend a lot of time in this, but it's a lot of time doing the same repetitive shit over and over again, because a lot of your time is going to be spent in the arena, and you're going to find out how to beat the person who has the least chance of winning against. You're going to find out how to beat them every time, and then you're just going to sit there and farm it so you can get the max amount of money. And you're going to do that for like 20, 30 minutes straight. And then you're going to buy some stuff, do a mission, and then you're going to go back to it and do it for another 30, 40 minutes straight. So it's really hard to be like, oh yeah, most people are going to like this. Because most people, I think, are going to get bored real quick with this game. So I say get it on a sale if you're not really into this. If you're like, I've wanted this game for a while, then obviously this is definitely for you. And yeah, I personally enjoyed the missions. And I enjoy kicking the shit out of things. But playing the same arena battle over and over and over did get real boring real quick for me. But I needed those upgrades. Otherwise, I was... Because this game, it is made specifically for you to grind. You have to grind. This is one of those old style games. You have to grind because otherwise you can't afford stuff, and you have to level up things. Like your pilot levels up, but you don't get skills from your pilot leveling up per se. Instead, you have to use whichever one of the three types of weapon X amount of times. In other words, you have to either destroy a unit or destroy parts of a unit to get XP for that ability. And once you have X amount of points in that ability, then you get a skill the next time you level up your pilot. So it takes forever to get those. Because, like, you can get... Typically, I get less than... I get around 30-ish when I destroy a whole bunch of parts for a suit, and it only has four. As a reminder, there's only four parts! And if you destroy the first one, you get, like, eight. And you have to have, like, 2,000.
Jeez.
For the first skill for like the short weapons, which are the ones you want to focus on because they give you the best skills. And that's the minimum one. The highest one is 7,000. I have just over 1,000 right now, and I've been farming the fuck out of it.
No,
I'm just like, so yeah, it's hard to say lots of people are going to like this. And at full price, I think a lot of people are going to be like, what the fuck did I waste my money on? So
that's sale definitely price for a targeted audience.
Yeah, definitely targeted audience for people who like this game and like old school RPGs. I think it's a okay game otherwise, you know, for sale. I would not spend full price on this for that much grinding if I wasn't like a big fan of this game.
Right. All right. Well, one final game to talk about tonight is called Noob the Factionless, developed by Black Pixel Studio, Ollie Dry Games, Sneaky Box, published by Microids, released June 29th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $39.99. Follow Bastard the Neogician, Drek the Berserker, May the Cartomancer, and Logs the Elementalist in their quest for the supreme level and help them reach their legendary class to become part of the elite of the Horizon MMORPG. Aki, what is Noob the Factionless?
Okay, in this, you play as a bunch of people playing an MMO. There are sections where you are in the MMO and sections where you are in the quote-unquote real world. The story behind this is basically you're playing as the Basque or whatever his name was. I don't know what his real name is. I think it's Martin, I believe. I don't remember 100% because there's so many names thrown around in this game. And you have been trying to get into the pro gaming, you know, esports bullshit for a while, and you keep failing no matter what kind of game you play. And then someone's like, you know, MMOs are gonna be added to esports soon with this specific title. And he's like, oh, I think I can do that. So now you're playing this game, the version that's currently out, which is 4.2, because 5 is going to be turned into esports for people. And the thing about it is you need to get to level 100 real motherfucking fast so that you're ready for the 5.0 so you can get into esports. So you're all about rushing this bitch as fast as you can. And your friend who plays Dirk or Drek or whatever his name is, he's like, yeah, I'll play it with you. We can do this. We're going to be esports legends. all because they hear about this group called Noob, who were a bunch of noobs and ended up becoming really famous in this MMO. So you guys are like, yeah, we're gonna do that, except for we're gonna be bigger and badder and cooler because we're 20 something year olds and that's how we think. And then so you start the game and it's all about just leveling up. Leveling up isn't too hard. Combat isn't too bad, thankfully. And you'll notice I only mentioned two of the characters. That's because the other two you meet in the MMO game. And then they happen to live nearby. So, yay! Leveling isn't bad because combat isn't bad, but you don't get a lot of experience for anything, at least that I've found so far. Like, the most I've gotten is outside of, like, boss battles and mini-boss battles anyways, is, like, 140-something XP, because enemies kind of plateau at just that being the max XP, it seems.
That sounds like Final Fantasy XI. In the early days, like, the max experience you could get was 200. Didn't matter what level you were, didn't matter how much XP, didn't matter how tough the enemies were, you were, like, capped at 200 XP.
Yep, that's basically, That's how this has been so far for me. Granted, I'm not even at level 50 yet because it takes a lot of time to get there when you need like
Full game with like 50-hour gameplay. This isn't just like a cheap little indie RPG. This is full on big JRPG.
Yeah, I think most of that time is actually just how long you have to sit and work on leveling. to be honest. Because I got to level 10 real quick, and then getting to level 20 was a real slog.
So it's like a real MMO.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Because like, no, as you get further in the in-game world, you fight stronger enemies, and you have to be a higher level, obviously, to stand a fucking chance. But they still only give you, like, 142 XP. So it's like, okay, I need 19,000 XP. Fuck you. Give me more XP, please, for the love of God. However, every time you reach a level 10 plateau, you stop leveling at that point because this game has a really interesting level up mechanic. You can level 10 levels, and then at that point you stop leveling, but you still keep getting XP. And your bar still keeps going up, but you get rewards instead until you enter this tower that's in the world and you play through this like vision of the world's past, which is just one real quick little dungeon level, basically. And then you can level up to the next 10 levels. And you just have to keep doing this by 10 level increments, basically, which is interesting, infuriating a little bit, but interesting. And, you know, some of those things that you get for continuing leveling past, you know, the fact that you can't actually level up anymore, is you can get items, especially gear for your characters. It was funny. I got to level 10 so fast, but by the time I got to where it even told me about the tower, I had been over leveling to such a degree that it had given me level 20 gear for my characters that I obviously couldn't equip. So I was like, I was just farming shit. And I was like, I don't know what to do now. And I came across an issue, but thankfully after a couple days, it was fixed by the devs, I assume, or maybe it just fixed itself. I have no idea. There is one problem with the game. One, for me, it's a pretty major problem because it becomes a massive fucking inconvenience and annoyance, is the game doesn't tell you where you need to go at any point in the real world or in the game world.
Oh, geez.
They tell you, hey, you need to go to this place. Your map does not tell you where that fucking place is. No one tells you, oh, hey, you know, go west 3 screens and then north 5 screens. No, it's like, go here. It's somewhere off to the east. Have fun. And in the real world, it's even worse because they're like, oh yeah, hey, no, go to this place. It's near this other place. I don't know where that fucking place is. And then the names aren't necessarily right, because like one of the first real world places you have to go is you have to go to the Justice building, which is basically a one of the MMOs, their guilds basically have their own place in the real world. Lots of them seem to, based on the names and the fact that you can go into pretty much every fucking building and see that almost all of them are MMO gamers. So it seems like every big place has their own real life area too. And it's like, yeah, it's right next to this AFK game store. I found out. Thankfully, I was able to find it after, you know, half an hour. Then after going there, they're like, oh, yeah, let's go to the AFK game store and log into the game. I looked and looked and looked and looked and looked. I eventually just happened to walk into the store that was right next to them that was not called AFK fucking games. And found out, oh, because that's when the cutscene started. Oh, this is the AFK game store. The place that is doesn't have AFK or game or store in its fucking name. It was an internet cafe. And that was 2/3 of its fucking name was internet cafe, not AFK game. There is no place in there called AFK game.
I think you're focusing on this a little.
Yes, because it made me angry and it took forever. And that is exactly why you put markers on the map telling you where to go. That
it just, if like everything you're telling me about this, it just sounds like old school MMO where it doesn't tell you shit. Like Final Fantasy XI, the first time I played Final Fantasy XI, it started me in a town.
Okay.
That's it. It wasn't like, go talk to this person. It wasn't like, follow this map marker. It didn't tell me to do this. It didn't tell me to go here. It was just like, play. And see, I stood there for 10 minutes and I was trying to figure out like, is there a map? Do I go somewhere? Do I do something? And I eventually just like started talking out loud, typing. I'm like, I'm new. What do I do? And some people were like, you're like brand new to the game. I'm like, yeah, this is my first time playing it. And they like took me in, taught me what to do. They're like, well, you got to go to this building and talk to this guy. Like, how would I have known that? They're like, well, they sell a strategy guide for it. I'm like, what if I didn't have the strategy guide?
Yeah, who the fuck buys the strategy guide for an MMO? You're supposed to just go into the MMO and it's supposed to tell you what to do so like, you can play it.
It was so obtuse and so unhelpful when I first played Final Fantasy XI. Like, Final Fantasy XIV is a whole different world in that it actually like helps you and puts you in directions. 14 was great. 11 was very, very hard to get into. That said, I missed the shit out of it. It sounds like I could find a lot of that in this. So oh, for yeah, $40, sure. What are your thoughts on Noob the Factionless?
If you apparently are like Joe and you really, really, really want that old school MMO vibe, yes, 100%. If you're easily annoyed by like not knowing where the fuck to go and that will make you put it down, don't buy that. Everyone else, yeah, it may take you a half hour to figure out what you're supposed to do, but you'll figure it out eventually. There's, you know, only the maps are only so gigantic.
Yeah. It sounds like this boils down to a middle of the road. Try it. Like it's a game that has a definite audience, but if you're not in that audience, it's going to be a hard time to get into.
Yeah. Like I like the combat. I like the story. I like the character interactions, but not knowing where I'm supposed to go constantly and having so many and such large maps is infuriating. If it weren't for that, I'd be like, I love this game 100%. It's great. So I think it's worth trying at the very least.
Cool. Yep. All right. Well, that is it for this episode. We made it through. We finished. Big thanks to Big Adam and Tim for coming on this episode, hanging out. Thanks to Jacob, I guess. Music, I'm going to play something from AEW and hope that I don't get a copyright strike.
Good fucking luck.
That. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Mikey Ruckus, please don't give us a takedown notice. We love you. And does anyone have any final words? Yeah, does anyone? What the f- Everyone left except you.
I'm the boss, yo.
Aki, do you have any final words to end the show?
Send us that takedown notice.
You're the worst.
Yes, I am.
Keeping that snort, too.
God damn it.